We sound fine, but one of us needs to be careful about breathing into the mic. Hey, everybody, if you can actually hear us, welcome to 30 minutes of Jake and Mr. Skullhead trying to get their shit together, followed by 90 minutes of...
Talking to each other because none of you can call in tonight.
Yeah. See, there's a reason that Scully did all the radio stuff last time on his end up in the mountainous, filthy town of Flagstaff. And that reason is that I have no idea how any of this stuff works, and my stuff on my computer is not really prepared to handle this stuff. So I suppose what we can do instead of running Skype is we can do the call-in show solely via the radio, Bugbear, who, curiously, I know this is a surprise, but I didn't even have my shit together enough to log the radio Bugbear in. I'm not even sure I remember the radio Bugbear's password, but we're gonna give it a shot. Of course, the lag is pretty much making it take about a half an hour for me to log out.
Please send all Bugbear-related correspondence to filthyhuman@gmail.com. Actually, don't really. That doesn't exist. Radio Free Bugbear.
There's one thing that really makes for good radio. It's a lot of silence.
Yeah, especially if you're Simon and Garfunkel. We could just mindlessly chatter.
So some people are telling us that they can hear us. Some people are telling us that they can't hear us. Some people are telling us that they both can and can't hear us, which is confusing.
Yeah, there's something happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. Now, if we consistently can't be heard, then we'll just do what... Sexy Goddess here is suggesting, and that is have another DJ start DJing, and then we will Skype them, and then they will Skype us. But you have to remember that when you Skype with someone, you're Skyping with everyone that they've Skyped with in their entire life. So,
all right, just as sort of a test to see if anyone can actually hear us, we're not going to be able to take calls tonight because we pretty much have no idea what we're doing. What we are going to do, though, is take messages from players in the chat via Radio Bugbear, and that is send a chat PM to the account Radio Bugbear, all one word.
And, although for that to work, you should probably put Radio Bugbear in a channel that's not clan.
Well, the reason that Radio Bugbear is in the channel that is clan is so that he only sees private messages, which is that way they stay on the screen for the duration of the show. Let's see, we're getting some feedback. What is the issue with Skype? Well, part of the issue is that we're not using Skype. So that's not... all right, it sounds like you're experiencing a hurricane. I can hear both of you fine, but one of you is breathing heavily into their mic.
Which is probably me, but how the hell do I not breathe?
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say that this is West, and I'm going to hold my breath.
I guess it really won't help if I hold my breath, too. But this is East.
All right. Now Mr. Skullhead is holding his breath, and all right. So now somebody's going to tell us whether West or East was better in terms of being able to hear the hurricane-like breathing, not being able to hear it is maybe the better thing. Anyway, it looks like we're getting PMs from people to the Radio Bugbear, and we can hear them through the hurricane. I don't know if they can hear us. Let's see. All right. Go ahead and fire off the questions. There are no actual questions so far, other than who keeps breathing into the mic, why do you keep breathing into the mic, the occasional passive voice, why does the mic keep being breathed into by one of you, and which one of you is it? Che asks if we're ever going to implement skirts. We already did implement a number of skirts, all of them frilly, all of them very old and dropped by the gnolls. But yeah, there'll be some more skirts. I guess I should you know, maybe work on that because the
awesome. Both of us are breathing into the mic.
Sweet. Even when we don't breathe.
Both west and east.
I wonder if we're getting an obscene Skype call that we're not aware of, where someone is breathing heavily, because they had said that there was a lot of heavy breathing, even when I didn't have the microphone turned on at all.
Maybe I should turn my mic off when I'm not speaking, but then I never know when I'm going to speak.
That's true. I can hear you fine. Breathing is not good. The breathing is quite hot. Keep it up for us, single girls. Items and familiars more useful. Oh, I'm sorry. Must have missed the first part of that. Okay. Hey, I wanted to say that I really like what you did with HP and MP. This is coming from Primavera Angel Hair. I know you're probably getting a lot of bad feedback, but I believe it brings back challenge and makes many items and familiars more useful again. There are some problems like the turtle tamers and accordion thieves and their reliance on buffs, but I think it's looking much better. I think there are probably as many people who believe that and you know, agree with us that it's probably the best thing for the game, and there are people who are pissed off. Hey, awesome, my mic was down to zero.
I wonder if... No, that's not it. Well, that might be it. I wonder if when I turn my mic off, if it turns yours off, too.
I bet it does. Well, that's awesome. So,
how about I not do that?
Hey, all right. Awesome. Okay, XX Armageddon XX asks, I got a question for Jake. Why did you not bitch slap the guy from Tech TV? He didn't sell the damn interview. You know, I mean, everybody says, people keep saying that they wish the guy had stopped interrupting me, and but they were really nice. I mean, it was cool of them to let me on in the first place, and, you know, I honestly, it went pretty well. Like, the way that I talk about stuff is, you know, suited for radio, apparently, and not really for television, because I wasn't animated enough, and I wasn't giving quick, snappy, funny answers. I was actually trying to convey information. Lost you dead air. That was because of,
We tried to fix the breathing problem by me turning off my microphone, and me turning off my microphone equals both microphones turning off.
Now, if only I remembered all of the incredibly witty and insightful things that I said while the microphones were turned off. All right, so now that we can both be heard again, are we still having the breathing problems? Because I am willing to hold my breath for the next 81 minutes.
And I'm working on kind of a circular breathing, you know, breathing through the nose, not doing my usual Darth Vader-esque breathing.
And he does have the microphone at the end of his didgeridoo.
Yeah. Okay, didgeridoo, don't you? Here's a question that people might be interested in. Which one of you is breathing into the mic? No, is it cool, asks Skaforlath, if I make a KOL client? I don't fucking know. You're the guy that...
Oh, I see. I see. Well, what's happening now is that Mr. Skull is waiting for me to answer the question. Yes, it's okay for you to make a KOL client. I mean, it's obviously all going to have to go through the scripts that I've written. It's not okay for you to make a KOL client that, like, hammers on the mall search once per second. I would really prefer if you didn't do that. You know, I'd prefer if you didn't make a KOL client that, tried to steal other people's passwords and that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people have written the little HTML helper things, the little pages of links, and that actually kind of helps us in a certain way, because it allows people to get to things that would maybe be, you know, three steps up and three steps down, but without having to go through all the intermediary stages. Let's see, what else? Who is... And, I think the technical difficulties are finally ironed out. Let's see. XX Armageddon, XX replies, boss still, pushed out of anyway, and they scroll out of the way, and they should have given you more than a minute or two. Yeah, it was shorter than I wanted it to be, but it was longer than I've ever been on TV promoting my game before, so, you know, I can't really complain. It was a lot of fun. They were really cool. I guess talk to Kevin Rosen about the like sort of hacker videos that he did, the broken. I think he was pretty excited about that. Let's see. Sorry if it's in the forums. And Never You Mind asks, sorry if it's in the forums, but what's the status on the comic? Hey,
evidence to say something iconic. We're, you know, there are a few of them that we've looked at and we've thought, you know, okay, yes, I think we're going to try and work these people into the comic, but it's just, it's yet another thing on our heaped plates, and, we'll put something in there after this weekend. We're on a Kingdom of Lily road trip over the weekend, headed down to Rocky Point, Mexico, to see Roger Klein and the rest of the Gin Blossoms, and sit on the beach and write content. Speaking of that, DevDog asks, do you have any new updates you're planning on releasing soon? And yes, due to the record number of people suddenly using the REST function in the campsite, which I'm sure you're aware of, we're going to do what we've always intended to do, which was to have a bunch of different things run by that dream code that currently now just always gives you the standing in front of the castle building in your underwear dream that doesn't do anything. Something just messed up. Major League, you sound like robots, says TechSmurf. Well, bow before your robot masters. It's having some severe distortion suddenly.
All I can say to that is, do you have stairs in your house? And also, in a future time, children will work together. I don't remember pushing the robot button.
And Riff says, seriously, you sound like the master control program to the game grid with your Riff. I'm not seeing anything that should have changed at all, either.
Jake is furtively working the cord to his headset with both hands. It's kind of erotic, but that may have something to do with it.
Now we sound like the guy from Scream, or a demented distortion beast who can still be understood, but say Black Fettuccini and Red Halo, respectively, time-wise. DevDog says thanks.
You're welcome, DevDog.
Anyway, that's one of the things we're going to be doing in Mexico, is writing a lot of dreams, and having a lot of dreams, and by dreams I mean peyote hallucinations. Let's see, Sarto sent his message, and this is pretty, Sarto is thanking us for mentioning Radio Paywall during Tech TV interview. We're really proud to be a part of the community, and
that we're proud to have you. I made sure to talk to them. I made sure to make them ask me about the radio station so that I could talk about it on Tech TV, because it's cool. The distortion is growing much worse. I wonder if, Awesome.
I like that it will change without us touching anything.
Yeah.
I think that's really neat.
I'm not seeing any change in the levels of voice that are going into Sam.
Sam.
People in the chat are wondering who you voted for.
Do we want to get into this?
I don't think... I don't know. I, for one, as you know, as the man, and as somebody who... Is taking your donation money and hiding it in an offshore corporation, some tax shelter kind of thing, so that I can eventually just shut the game down and run off with all your money. I voted for Bush.
No, you fucking didn't.
I didn't vote for Bush. I vote. Oh, hey, awesome, cool. We fixed it by
just
waiting for it to stop being broken.
I wish that worked for everything.
Yeah, I do wish that worked for everything too.
I cast my vote for Senator Kerry as well. Kind of cast my vote as anti-Bush, but I don't want to alienate anybody. I just want to say if anybody on the server right now lives in Canada, that they should message me and can I crash at your pad?
Yeah, I'm sort of wondering what the real estate market is like up there. I would imagine it's growing. Alright,
we have a question that doesn't have anything to do with distortion.
Right, awesome. So, chapter 1, heavy breathing. Chapter 2, distorted robot voice. Chapter 3...
And you can ask us questions about social distortion if you want to.
Or social breathing.
Yeah. I'm just curious how many people are listening to us fuck around. 123, so...
Yeah, hey, there we go.
That's... Last week, our fucking around was apparently much more popular.
Okay, well, let's see. How can I contact Jake without having to write a message that will be buried or missed in the forums? I tried writing you a PM but ran out of letters and want to run an idea by you. We do eventually get to all of the messages that are sent via either K-mail, which word I don't like, but I will use anyway, to JIC, to number one. And that pool also contains all the things sent from the email page on the front page and the bug report message, which actually the bug report link is just a link to a message to JIC number one. But it just takes a while. You know, right now we're buried under about 2,500 messages that, I'm going to have to power through some of those before this weekend, lest it be 3,500 when we get back.
Or, you know, $5,000. Oh, so, hey, Primavera Angel Hair says, I think the breathing is not breathing. It sounds like rubbing now that I think about it. Is something rubbing or shifting there?
Yeah.
And, well, Jake is rubbing his microphone cord like a demon.
The microphone cord?
So,
I can't imagine there being another tiny microphone in the middle of the microphone cord, but... okay, here's a question. What's your take on the huge MP change controversy? Well, my take is that we did the wrong thing entirely and that we're clearly favoring the exploiters and people with hundreds of thousands of turns of buffs and we're just trying to screw the little guy. No, I mean, my take is that it was necessary. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people are upset because it wasn't announced, but, you know, had it been announced, the only thing that would have happened is the shitstorm would have started a couple days earlier. I mean, there would have been people saying this is going to ruin the game, there would have been people saying this is going to save the game, and nobody would have really come to any conclusions because nobody knows what it's going to be like until a couple of days, you know. And a couple of days will pass, I think I put this in the announcements. Although now I can't remember if I pushed them to the live servers, which is this is the great thing about me is that I frequently try to tell the community things and just fuck up and don't get it done. But that you will now get a chunk of HP and MP back overnight, which I think a lot of the more legitimate concerns that people had were that it was causing huge problems for low level mysticality class people. And you know, I can hear that. I can see how that, you know, could be sort of an unanticipated consequence of it. So we're going to try this. We're going to see what happens with the, I believe that with a fully stocked campsite, you are going to get like 100 hit points and 110 mana back every night, and that's okay. That's not a big deal. I don't think that's enough. You know, that's enough that you get, you know, as a buffer, you get a few free buffs every day, if you want to call that free, but not a billion free buffs. And that's the thing, you know. The other thing is I'm not entirely sure what the best way is to handle the ridiculous numbers of buffs that are already out there. They are going to go down. If you have a million turns of something, that is not going to stay. You know, if you have 10,000 turns of something, that's not going to stay for very long. Mailken, this is actually coming up a lot. He said, did you read the article on newbies and MMORPGs, and what did you think? You know, it was interesting. Like a lot of people have pointed out in the forums, you know, we sort of represent a different aspect of that. You know, we're sort of a different kind of game than they're talking about in that, because we're not pay-to-play. So I guess the thinking is that we somehow have less of an obligation to the players, or at least less of a requirement to keep people happy. Because if people leave, then we're not, you know, specifically losing revenue. If people stop showing up, then yeah, we're losing revenue. But I mean, it's just different. People are not subscribing to this service. You know, I don't think that it does give us any less responsibility to keeping people happy, but it does give us a little more freedom to, you know, do things that are in the best interest of the game on the whole at the expense of maybe pissing a few people off, because everything you do is going to piss some people off.
And we can, risk temporarily pissing people off because we're not a big corporation that's concerned with a revenue stream, that's concerned with keeping everybody happy all the time. You know, we can make changes and we can experiment, and it seems to be going okay. I wanted to weigh in with a couple things on the MPHP debacle, scandal, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. The first is that people started jumping on this before they really saw what it was going to do, which annoyed me a little bit, but, you know, I'm easily annoyed. Just if we can hang back and be cool and see what happens, that would be a little bit better. The other thing is that the people were mad because the way that they've chosen to play the game is going to be no longer viable. But that means that it's working. I mean, the reason that people were able to buff Samaritans, which is a cool thing to do, but is because the MP and HP were too good. And it's kind of like being mad that we nerfed the ICP because, you know, it was too good. It seriously was too good, and that just means that you have to change your strategy a little bit. The final thing is that we put this in, but it's not done. And it wasn't like, this is how it's going to be forever and a day. It's, we're throwing this out there, see how that works, tweak it a little bit. So there will be changes made. Don't assume that it's just, you know, the game's gone down the crapper because we put this in.
That's something I actually wanted to point out at the end of my my sort of hastily delivered speech there about that Bartle article, is that also, you know, something that's different about our game compared to something like EverQuest is that, you know, it is still at the point where, even though it's just kind of limping along like this, it is still at the point where it's basically me making the changes. It's not like there's this huge set of change controls in place. It's not like I have to fight a lot of bureaucracy to get something done. I can just change something, and then if it's fucked up, I can change it back. You know, I'm not going to suddenly do something that makes it so nobody plays the game anymore, everybody leaves, and there is no game. You know, let's see. Primavera Angel Hair asks, will skills change with this? I know Turtle Tamers and Accordion Thieves have most of their skills tied into their buffs. Mind you, I still think these changes are a good thing. What we were... Initially, the plan was that we were going to reduce the efficacy of MP regeneration programs, items, and increase the cost of buffs, and not mess with the nightly restore. But what that ends up doing is just screwing low-level players. Part of the thing is, and a big part of Muzzy's point, and the thing that actually I felt was the most important thing that Muzzy had to say when we were sort of having the discussion that drew our attention to this, is that the problem with the buffing system was not so much that people had tens of thousands of turns worth of buffs, it's just that low-level players who were buffers didn't have anything to offer anymore because there were so many high-level players just giving so much shit away. And, you know, there was... Effectively, with the numbers being smaller, the lower-level players can compete better because they're working on the same limited amount of MP per day as the other people. You know, I mean, you can say now that people with more meat are going to be able to give more valuable buffs, but, you know, there used to be a situation where once you got to a level where you could buff. I mean, I remember the only thing that I really remember with any pleasurable sensations about my experience playing EverQuest is I played a shaman up to like level 12, and as soon as I hit level 9, I got the spell Spirit of Wolf, which makes you run faster, which everybody wants. So suddenly I went from just being constantly broke all the time to actually being able to afford some equipment because I was able to cast Spirit of Wolf on people for donations. Everybody was pretty cool. High-level players needed it just as much as low-level players, and me casting Spirit of Wolf on them was just as good as a high-level player casting Spirit of Wolf on them. Let's see. Yeah.
Well, Gamma says, are there plans to make the new chat interface work with Firefox? And speaking as the non-corporate slave half of the Kingdom team, I can say that the new chat works fine with Firefox if you're using the latest build.
Yeah, I was under the impression that all those issues were fixed, too. I know that there is some goofiness where I think there's like an extra scroll bar on the side of it, and the it doesn't want to resize correctly, or maybe some of the divs are overlapping, but it's usable. It doesn't interfere with anything other than the aesthetics.
Yeah, I use it every day from Firefox, so...
Yeah. I mean, I haven't tried it in a long time, but I also haven't changed the chat code in a long time. Let's see. Let's run through some of these. some of these old. All right, Riff is chiming in again, saying that he, as I'm sure if you've seen in the forums, if you've been reading them, that he's totally in support of the MP changes because anything that forces you to make changes, anything that forces you to make choices about where and how you adventure is good game design, in his opinion. IHO. Yeah, you know, I agree with Riff on that. I mean, I think that
as well.
Yeah, you know, I want the game to be easy because the thing that I hated about playing EverQuest was that even though, you know, I logged, and I didn't play EverQuest very much, I seriously think that I logged maybe like 35 hours on one character total. And the problem with that was after 35 hours, you know, which for me was a couple of months because I didn't play that much, I had only ever seen like four or five places. And I didn't want this game to be like that. I want you to be able to get out and see stuff. But at the same time, if it's too easy, you just burn through it. And I'm sure a lot of you have noticed that there is sort of a dearth of high-level content here. So, you know, until Ascension is finished, it's really not in anybody's best interest for somebody to be able to get from level one to the end of the Sorceress Quest as it stands now in like
and
2 weeks.
Fine.
You know, that's not cool. Like, our goal, I mean, what did we say? That we wanted it like an Ascension with no items, using them all was fine, but I mean, we wanted it based on like, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
To play through from zero to the effective level cap. I mean, not level cap, but the effective content cap. And you know, 6 weeks, there's enough stuff to see to keep you occupied for 6 weeks, so that's fine. Nipoknek suggests that the occasional song during the show lets people go pee and stuff. I'm not sure that I want to risk messing with the settings since people can apparently hear us now.
Well, really, we should be able to unlock the mic and throw in a song if, you know, people want to pee. Or we could just talk about completely useless shit for a while.
Well, nothing we talk about is completely useless because we're super cool. We are Talit. Let's see. Balax 2290 messages. When taking away buffs, would you take out all of them or just lower them? It's whatever I do, it's definitely going to be lower. Here's what I think that I should do with buffs. Rather than having a permanent system in place to leech them out over time, I think just taking the ones that are just at ridiculous levels now and, you know, doing the equivalent of kind of what happens to the advertising budget. I mean, not as drastic as, actually, probably for most people, a little more drastic than actually taking the square root of it. But okay, effectively, build a curve that makes it so people with just a huge shitload of buffs now end up with about a month of buffs. Because a month is a long time. You know, a month is a lot of turns. That's what, 30 times 200, which is 6,000 turns. So basically, you end up with 6,000 turns of buffs, tops. So, you know, I don't know what the best way to do it is. I guess I'd have to look, because I really don't know. I started looking in the effects table to see what the numbers were like as far as what buffs were actually out there, and there are loads and loads and loads of people with millions of turns of the self buffs. And you know, I've had a lot of people talk to me and a lot of people post in the forums since this change, which is like, you know, I have all this crap that I don't need because every night before I logged off, I would just waste every single MP that I had doing the self buff so that I would just have this perpetual free, you know, whatever ten, you know, whatever percent or whatever arithmetic added stat boost. And you know, that's, except Trogdor says, except most of us are playing way more than 200 adventures a day.
How the hell are you doing that?
Well, I mean, not entirely sure. IMP Black Belt keeps messaging over and over again. How's the Sorceress Quest going? How's the Lair Quest going? And again,
fine. Thanks.
We talked about this last time. It's not the Sorceress Quest that we're waiting on. It's the Ascension stuff that is gigantic and takes a long time and takes a lot of testing, takes a lot of very, very careful coding to make it not completely screw things up. You have to understand that it's not like it used to be. I can't add new features really quickly like I could, because before, when there were like 5,000 people playing, it wasn't a big deal if a couple of them found, like, you know, an item dupe or something. But now it is a huge, huge deal if I open something like that up, because it will spread like crazy, and it will spread to the point where it cannot be fixed without screwing more innocents than guilty. So you got to understand the position that we're coming from here, which everything, this is an incredibly important bit of code, and it is very complex, and it needs time. We could finish the Sorcerer's Quest like in a few days and put it up there. It just wouldn't be anything to do once you'd actually beaten her. I know a lot of people have said they want to do that. And, it might eventually be worth doing. But I'm telling you, if you ask us to do that, you're going to be disappointed. Because there's really not much left of the actual Sorcerer's Quest. What's left of it is Ascension, and that's 99% of the content that's going to roll out when the Sorcerer's thing is done.
And it's going to be big.
Jigaboo asks, when you do the Ascension, will we be able to keep all of our familiars and our rare items? The rare items, definitely. The familiars, we haven't decided. The Mr. Store familiars, absolutely. Let's see. Silt says people get over 200 turns by having all the items that add to rollover, right, which gives you about like 8 or 10 total, then eating chow mains and fuzz bumps, stop for a ghost 200 adventure, then finish eating, right? Well, yeah. Part of that, it comes from the fact that there's too much food. Not everybody should be drinking however many fuzz bumps you can drink a day. Those fuzz bumps were duped. So those will go away. Somehow.
There's the perception that everyone should have access to the very best stuff. Like, you should only eat the very best food, and you should only get the very best drinks, and if you can't afford to buy them in the mall, then something's wrong with the game. And this is just a tangent, but that's really not the case. I mean, there's a lot of food out there, and the rare stuff, or the good stuff, should be rare because it's real good.
Right, that's what people don't understand, is the reason that stuff is good is because it is supposed to be rare. The reason that an ice-cold beer isn't as good as a fuzz bump is because a fuzz bump is harder to get. Because now there are millions of them, it's not harder to get, but that is not the way that it is supposed to be. People talk about the ghost pickle on a stick. The reason that the ghost pickle on a stick was more powerful than any of the other familiars is because it was supposed to be rare. Once they were duped, it just became completely unbalanced, and that's why I got rid of the recipe. So they are still rare, as they should be, because they are a lot more powerful than the stuff that's easy to get. And that's, that's the way it works. I mean, a lot of the people who complain about, not being able to get all of this stuff probably played Magic. And here's a parallel that I would draw. If you ever played a game of Magic with a deck where you were pretending that cards were Black Lotuses and Moxes and all of the cards that were rare because they were taken out of the game because they provided too much of an advantage to players who had them, it's not fun. It wasn't fun to play a game where both people had decks like that because it was ridiculous. Everything moved too fast. Everything was too powerful. There was a reason that they took those things out. They were rare. They were powerful. But there got to be so many decks printed that they weren't rare anymore. People got a handful of them, and it just fucked up the game. And, okay. How do you get a crazy bastard sword? I've never seen one, says Stolen. A lot of people wonder about the algorithms for generating those rares. Effectively, and this makes me pretty happy, I've basically come to the conclusion that realistically you can't get those artifacts on purpose. They're just going to pop in sometimes. That's cool with me. That's kind of what I wanted. It would take you so long just farming them, and there are elements to their availability that go beyond just the probability of an individual player finding it in a specific place that I'm not going to tell you about because that would ruin it. Let's see.
That's a real good question from Riff. There was a discussion a while ago about limiting the mall to consumables only, no weapons or quest items. Are there any plans for that? And I think one of the plans we have is to try and make the quest items untradeable.
To a certain extent, yes, but to a certain extent, I want to be able to maintain the freedom to use consumables as quest items. There are the can lids, which, you know, they were made as an item. I mean, honestly, they were made as kind of a filler item, because I was like, well, okay, once I switched the pantry to actually have monsters in it instead of just adventures, you know, which was months after there existed the code that allowed monsters to exist, you know, I'm like, well, these cans should drop something other than meat, because, you know, they're cans of vegetables. So I put in the can lids, and they were just these combat items, you know, and I figure that for low-level players, those can be kind of handy, because they allow you to do some damage to a monster that you couldn't otherwise hit. So, you know, you could adventure in the pantry for a while, you could collect a handful of can lids, and then you could go somewhere that there were monsters that you maybe weren't tough enough to hit unadjusted, and you could nail a few of them with the can lids, and hope you get lucky, get something that you can maybe, you know, auto-sell for enough to buy a tent. You know, I mean, those are the kinds of choices that people should be making in the game. But the can lids have basically just become nothing but a commodity because of their value in the Gourd Quest. And that was not what I intended to do. The reason that I put the Gourd Quest in there was not... partly it was to leech those items out, because I noticed people just holding onto huge stacks of them, because once you got past a certain level, there wasn't anything to do with them anymore. And partly it was because there was sort of this tar pit at level 3 and 4 and 5 that was really hard to advance just because of the sort of weird scale of the monsters as it goes up, and because of the way that the sort of semi-dumb choices that we made in rolling zones out and their comparative difficulty in the very early days of us putting this stuff in here. So, I don't know, you know, can lids, they are a quest item. They are also a consumable combat item, and I would like for them to be able to be sold in the mall, but that sort of violates the spirit of what we were trying to do away with when we were talking about doing what Riff is talking about. I don't know that I ever wanted to make it so you couldn't sell equipment in the mall, because I don't really like the idea of you not being able to sell equipment in the mall. I mean, I certainly do like the idea of you not being able to sell a bridge in the mall, but that has less to do with the fact that bridges are saleable than we decided to put the bridge in kind of a dumb place. I mean, just to make it a drop from a monster. You know, there's no reason... Or is it a drop from a monster, or is it something you get on an adventure?
It's an adventure. It's an adventure right now. And really, that's something that we're really looking at for just kind of overhauling from the ground up, is making the zones roll out make sense, making the quests make sense, so that you're not like, go over here and find something that a monster dropped and combine it with this other thing, and then the zone opens up. And there are people who just never figure out how to get to certain zones. And so, you know, that's a problem. And we're looking at that, and looking at a narrative, kind of to make things make a little more sense.
You know, when I was sort of practicing for all of the things that I was going to say, had they given me an opportunity to just talk for a long time on the Tech TV interview, which I sort of knew they weren't going to, really, the organic nature of the growth of this game has been kind of a double-edged sword, a great strength and a great weakness, because, you know, it's cool, and as you play it, it's sort of like we made it, you know, because that's the order in which stuff happens. But at the same time, I think there are times where we sort of overlooked the flow of the narrative, because for a long time, in the early days, when a lot of content was going in, I mean, we'd effectively just choose how powerful to make zones based on how powerful the sort of 80% and 90% ranked players were. And the problem with that was that, you know, if I screwed around and went like a month without adding a zone, there was a much bigger gap between that zone and the previous zone than there was if I pushed out like two in a week. Yeah, so I mean, like I said, there are things that really need to be redone and changed. I mean, our problem is that we have a lot more ideas than we have time. We have a lot more, you know, things we know need done than we have resources at our disposal to do. So, you know, I mean, hopefully as we get a little bit more publicity, you know, and as much as I don't like the idea of just this sort of like getting lost in the individual players getting lost in the shuffle of the thronging masses, you know, it would be nice to be able to get this to the point where I could, like, have an IT staff. You know, so we just figure out what we want to do, and then we tell somebody else to do it. And then, we pay them so that we can just come up with the next thing to do. Spend a little bit more time thinking about it and a little less time actually having to wait for me to get off my ass and implement it. Luke asks, I don't have TV. Is there an e-video of the tech TV show? Yeah, there is, actually. Cold Front, which I've been intending to announce, is... I've been talking to them, and they are now the official Kingdom of Loathing fan site. Those guys are awesome. They've done a lot for us, and it's good stuff. It's kol.coldfront.net, and actually there's audio and video of the interview up pretty close to the top of the page, probably. But they've done a lot of good work. They sort of pore over the forums and grab stuff that I say that's important, and they post it as news. I need to put a link to it on the front page. I've been intending to do that, and then maybe tonight I will. But that is where you can find that. Let's see. Sir Tubby asks, do you think you will make an uber hard quest at the end where if you beat it, you get a Mr. A or a really good item, perhaps your own avatar? Well, no. I'm not going to make it so that there's a quest that makes it so everybody can get a Mr. Accessory, because, that's not fair to the people who've donated, and that's not the kind of thing that will help us continue to keep the game going and keep it free. One of the players asks, and this is something that we do get a lot of. He says, I don't suppose you'd consider hiring me as a creative consultant or some such. I have a lot of great ideas. This is something that, like I said, the one thing that we are not short on is ideas. We do entertain suggestions from players, and a lot of times players come up with some great ideas, and a lot of times we continue to talk to them, and we end up incorporating a lot of their stuff into the stuff that we do put in. I'm hesitant to make it official, just because.
I don't want the competition.
Yeah, that's partly it.
Scope. I mean, all I've got are my ideas. I get and really really good skills with my mouth and lips. So if somebody else is coming in here with ideas and they give blowjobs better than I do, I'm out of a job.
That is why I'm doing most of the talking, by the way, because it's been a while since Mr. Skullhead was in town, and there's a considerable debt that he owes me.
Ashland has an interesting question. Came in on the discussion late. Is there a chance? Is there a plan to create an inn or something that would cost meat adventures/adventures to get a full heal/MP recharge, which would be a decent sink of meat and adventures?
Well, it would be a decent. This was not designed to be a meat sink, though. Effectively, that's what resting is. Resting is the inn. And I'm really hesitant to do anything that will give a full MP recharge. You'll notice that, for the most part, I did not nerf the things that give full hit point recharges. And the reason for that is pretty simple. Your hit points don't affect anyone except you. There's really no reason for it not to be fairly easy for you to get healed because, you need to have hit points in order to play your turns. Really, all of these changes... And the thing is, the red pixel person should not have healed all of your hit points. Because it's pretty easy to get. It's not easy to get when you first get there, but comparatively, it's pretty easy to get. There's no reason for it to be infinitely more effective than something that you can buy for 50 meat at Dot Galactic Shop.
Or something you get at a much higher zone like the airship.
Right, exactly.
Sewer Rats... Well, actually, Mailkin says, do you have testers for new content before it goes live, or do you test it yourself mostly? And we do have a dedicated group of testors who do some of that. Some of it we just throw in, you know, and see what the hell happens.
Yeah, because I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we can put in without the potential for new security holes. I mean, you know, if we want to add a new adventure in there or something, that's just some writing and some drawing. You know, it's not like we have to write new code that could be broken. Really, the people on the development server, the people on the test server, because I know that now we're gonna get a million requests for people wanting to be on the test server. They only see stuff content wise, typically, maybe 6 hours before it goes live. Most of the time when I put something in that's got mechanics and a significant amount of content, I make the mechanics available for people to test, and largely the people on the test team are people who have, you know, found and reported exploits in the past, and people that we know, you know, have the best interest of the game in mind and have a solid technical skill set that allows them to poke at holes. It's not a cool job. For 99% of the people out there, it would be incredibly boring. It's just that they are people like me who like seeing what the code does. And so, you know, they make sure that it's clean before it gets out to you. But like I said, a lot of stuff the testers don't even see early. A lot of stuff they barely see early, and is really, you know, they certainly don't get any kind of advantage by seeing it. Let's see. IMP Black Belt says, maybe you should make Mr. Accessories untradeable. Mr. Accessory became a big commodity in the mall and in the trade channel. You know, that was an unanticipated and sort of an unintended consequence of making them tradable, but the thing is, you know, it's a gift. It is yours to do what you want to do with it. And even though I don't particularly approve, you know, I don't even want to say I don't approve of it, because I know that the fact that Mr. A's are tradable as a commodity and are tradable as sort of a currency, as sort of a de facto currency in the rare market, causes us to get a lot more donations than we would if they weren't. You know, if we were only relying on people donating out of the kindness of their heart and out of their, you know, wanting to support the game and its development, you know, it would maybe be enough to keep it going, but it wouldn't be enough that, you know, like it is now, where we can keep it going and expand. And you know, it's the way people are. You know, you a lot of people, it's worth it for them to spend $10 to get the Mr. Accessory and to sell it for meat, because they want meat to get into the rares trading.
Well, the other side of it is that the reason that they were tradable to begin with is, you know, partly because it's your gift, you can do what you want with it, partly because people wanted to get them for other people. And that was way back in the day, before people were really trading them in the mall, because...
Right, before there was a mall, for
yeah.
that matter.
So, the original idea was that if somebody wanted to buy a Mr. Accessory for their friend, they wouldn't have to buy it and then tell us and then have us move it to their friend. So it's kind of because we wanted to keep that functionality in there, we don't want to make them untradeable just because people are using them for another purpose.
All right,
we don't want to kill a fly with a sledgehammer.
We got a message that the breathing is back. Apparently, what the breathing is me fidgeting with the little knob on this cord that contains the mic control. So I'm going to try and fidget with something else for a little while. I have no idea why that would happen. I mean, that just seems like kind of poor design. But yeah, you know, that's what you get when you buy a cheap headset.
Primavera Angel Hair asks: is there any plans to give the primarily the seal clubbers something renewable they can offer for sale or trade? My take on that is that the seal clubber is the most powerful player in the game as far as being able to hit monsters, as far as like the skills go. So they're a selfish player, but they're a strong selfish player.
Yeah, I mean that's actually kind of my take too. The seal clubber is more a soloing class. You know, and the thing is, they do have the ability to make chrome weapons, which everybody wants one. You know, so you know, there is a market for those. Bender, actually, that's weird. A couple people in a row have asked about the about the pickle factory, or maybe it was XX Armageddon XX says, how easy is it to remove and put back in the pickle factory? Because I'm just wondering how long it takes. I mean, honestly, it's pretty easy. Put it back in, you know. Bender M asks, will the pickle factory return? If not, is there something similar for a new familiar in the works, or are the Mr. Store familiars the replacement? I never thought of them as a replacement for anything. They're certainly an addition. But I don't think the ghost pickle on a stick is necessarily something that needs a replacement. And yes, the factory will come back. The factory, we haven't entirely decided what the algorithm is for determining whether the pickle factory exists on a given day. But, you know, even if we had decided, we wouldn't tell you.
Yeah, I think the proper answer is none may know the hour of its coming and going. But I just want to also add that just because we have familiars in Mr. Store does not mean that we are going to stop having new familiars exist in-game.
Yeah, absolutely not.
So I've been told the breathing happens when Mr. Skullhead isn't talking, and it happens when Jick is talking, which means that it may be my breathing, but also when Jick is talking is when he's messing around with the cord, so...
That's true.
That might be it, too. Regardless, you know, we could stop talking about the breathing.
Balex2290 says, will you bring back the rares like you did with the beanbag chair? Bringing back the beanbag chair was not bringing back a rare. The beanbag chair, like the Mr. Container and any shirt class items that you may have seen, were not rares. They were items that only entered people's inventories, only entered stores, only entered clan stashes, and only entered closets because of exploits. So I did not bring back the beanbag chair. I did not try to crash the rare market on beanbag chairs. I made the beanbag chair a long time ago and didn't put it in the game. Any that were in there were there illicitly, you know? So, no. I mean, I guess the answer is no, I will not bring back the rares like you did with the beanbag chair. You know, the funny thing, I had sort of forgotten that what was it? What did I put in the Limerick dungeon? The Dungeoneer's Dungarees? Is that what dropped from the one-pant-legged schnauzer? Or the pair of one-pant-legged schnauzers? I didn't intend to make that a rare. You know, they used to drop, and then when I changed the daily dungeon, I just left out a few of the items by accident. And so now there's this huge rare market on demon skin trousers, you know, and those aren't supposed to be rare. You know, some random items. Those were actually just really crappy items. They were filler for the dungeon when I first put the dungeon in.
McFarter's got a good question there.
Yes.
Because we have an answer to that.
Yes, we do. He says, will you be introducing special days or holidays to the KOL calendar? And I'll let Mr. Skullhead handle this instead of breathing heavily.
And that'll give you time to bite my ass, because you won't have to be talking. Yes, we will be introducing special days, holidays to the KOL calendar. I have a list of one holiday for every month, and I don't know how much I want to say about that.
Yeah, not too much. I think we can say, though, that the Halloween event, the trick-or-treating thing, that is going to start coming back on the KOL calendar rather than on the Real War calendar. We'll probably, at least with Halloween and Christmas, we will continue to do things on the actual, real world holiday that'll be a little different than what's going on. But what we're thinking is, all right, we introduced this trick-or-treating thing, so why not have that be one of the KOL calendar holidays? So effectively, what is it? It happens every 84 days. Every 84 days, trick-or-treating will come up for a couple days, or maybe just one day. Actually, probably just one day. And then, if there's a holiday for every month, then that means once a week there's some special event going on. So, you know, and they will have an effect, not a serious effect. You know, it's not like they're gonna introduce a lot of rare items into the mix or have serious effects on gameplay, but it'll be, you know, stuff along the lines of a stat day. You know, one thing that we were thinking about, one detail I will give out, is we're thinking maybe of, the November holiday will be some sort of Thanksgiving equivalent, like, feast day that has some impacts on the the efficacy of eating different foods, or the efficacy of just eating food in general. Yeah, you know, we haven't exactly figured on the details yet, but what we will probably do is roll that out on the actual real world Thanksgiving, and then put it into the KOL calendar. Which seems like a decent way. Same thing with Crimbo, probably. We'll figure out. We got a lot of expectations to live up to for Crimbo this year. I'm not sure I'm up to it.
It seemed like some people were disappointed with the Halloween candy because it wasn't a bunch of uber powerful stuff. And just wanted to say real quick, one of the reasons that the candy works the way it does, that it's not great for you, I mean, it gives you some okay effects, some of them do, but it's not fantastic, is that candy doesn't have a limit on it to how much of it you can consume. And we know that a lot of people were going to get thousands of them through adventuring or buying in the store. So we figured that we would make the new items fun and funny and kind of okay for you, but not fantastic. We just couldn't. I mean, people would have shot up in levels if we had like any kind of stat gain with them. It's just, that's the problem with the with having something that's not limited. Here's an interesting question to talk about. Einden says, recently several well-known players have left or vocally considered leaving for one reason or another. What do you think about this?
Well, what do we think about this?
What do we think about this? It makes me sad to see a well-known player leave, especially if they do it in the right way. Like if they say, I'm leaving and here's why, and I'm not happy about this and this, and I don't think that you're going to fix it. So, you know, I'm leaving. That's sad. It's especially sad if they leave because they don't believe that we care, or they don't believe that, or they believe that we've lost our sense of direction, and they just don't trust us to do the things that we say we're going to do. That's doubly sad. When someone freaks out and spams the forums and, you know, goes nuts in chat and then leaves, it's a little less sad. I mean, it's sad to see a respected player do that, but
no, it is. It's the thing about people on the internet is that, you know, everybody has a little bit of a, you know, I'll put it this way: most 12-year-olds have a little bit of an annoying streak. And when you give them, you know, effectively some anonymity, and you give them, you know, the ability to inflict a lot of information on a lot of people at once, they tend to kind of wig out, and their little annoying streak turns into a whole lot of annoyance. Everybody has a little bit of drama in them, and I think the same thing kind of happens when people decide they're going to start slinging some drama around. And it's, I mean, you know, my take on it is, well, nobody wants to hear my take on it. You know, I just kind of, the drama to me just needs to be brushed off, because all you're doing by talking about it is making people think about it more. You're making it more effective. You're drawing more attention to it. You know, I don't want people to leave. I don't want people to stop playing. But at the same time, I know that I have never in my life played a computer game for as long as Kingdom of Loathing has existed. That isn't true. I guess I played a lot of NetHack, but not off and on. You know, I've gone through big 6 month periods where I didn't play NetHack. But you know, people are going to get tired and leave. And sometimes people are going to get tired and leave, and they're going to be loud about it. And sometimes people are going to get pissed and leave and be loud about it. You know, I just ask that everybody kind of keep things in perspective. You know, I promise you, we have never made a single decision that the criterion by which we judged the value of the decision was A, screwing players over, because that's not something we've ever tried to do. B, paying more attention to money than what players wanted, because that's not something we've ever tried to do. C, trying to give even more advantages to people with ridiculous amounts of bug meat or people who've exploited, because we've never made any decision with that goal in mind either. You know, and I think sometimes people just sort of I'm not going to say that they only see things in the short term, because, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe we do something. Maybe it has more bad effects than good, and they get pissed off and they leave because of it. Maybe they're right. But the louder you piss and moan, the less likely your concerns are to be taken seriously. You know, if you say, listen, fuck you for changing the MP, and I quit your fucking stupid game, then, you know, I'm not going to listen to the rest of what you have to say. If you say, you know, listen, I think this is a bad idea, then I'm going to read it and I'm going to consider it, you know? And I'm gonna trust what you say because, you know...
And we've been doing that all week.
Absolutely. It's just a more mature way of dealing with things. And as far as people leaving, you know, like I said, people are going to leave, and it sucks, and I like for people to stay around, but I also recognize that nothing stays new and fresh and satisfying and interesting forever. So it's... You know, it just happens.
Well, you know, on a happier note, we can say that we see people come back.
Absolutely.
Who just vanished for quite a while. Like, we'll see Nkanu with his three-digit ID number come...
Nkanu is number 37. And even though he's left for, you know, months at a time, sometimes he comes back. You know, because he comes back to see what the game is like. And I think that's where a lot of our traffic comes from, is people who played a year ago, and, you know, then they suddenly, you know, they see a mention of it on some website, they see, like, wow, this game really seems to have changed since then, it seems to have grown some, and it does.
Here's something I want an answer to. Trogdor asks, speaking of limiting, are 668s going to be reined in before Mysticality Day?
When is Mysticality Day?
Coldfront will, or Chatbot will tell you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How does one
send Chatbot a PM that says day in it? By the way, Chatbot, you know, props to, was it Fnord?
Yeah, it was Fnord 7.
Props to Fnord 7. Chatbot is incredibly useful. I recommend when you're listening to KOL Radio, the message Chatbot R subscribe, which makes Chatbot tell you every time a new song plays who's the DJ and what song it is and how many people are listening, which is just very, very cool. You know, props to Chatbot. So 2 days till Mysticality.
All right, so my guess is no, 668 scrolls are not going to be reined in before Mysticality Day because...
We're going to be drinking tequila.
We're going to be, very, very, very drunk in most of the intervening hours between now and Mysticality Day. Let's see. Are you going to have something special planned for Thanksgiving? Yes. Yes, indeed we are. That's going to be the day on which we, like I said earlier, introduce one of the new KOL calendar holidays. Balex2290 says, Jick should know when Mysticality Day is. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I should know, but there's only so many things that one person can know at the same time, and this thing has gotten really big and really complicated. I can never, even after I did it, I can never remember which one of the moons moves faster. I'm assuming that it's Ronald, because I think both of them were new moons, like, a couple days ago. JJ says, like, 668 scrolls are giving Boozer a huge lead.
Before that, he said it makes people mad when people get to keep their exploited items, like the huge meat flood. People get upset and bail. Like 668 scrolls giving Boozer a huge lead.
Well, yeah, but 668 scrolls aren't so much an exploit. It's just a sort of a stupid design decision. Not a stupid design decision. It was just something that I didn't think of. You know, I do not want Mysticality and Moxie and Muscle Days to increase losses, because, you know, I mean, there are certain steps that I want to take to keep the game from being, you know, mean to you. I don't like making you lose stuff. You know, most of the time when you lose stats, you lose, like, a couple because it's funny. You know, it's funny to lose a couple strength for drinking some item that, you know, punches you in the stomach after you drink it somehow. But, you know, I don't want the stat days to have that 50% increase apply to reductions in the stats, which is the problem with 668 scrolls. So what I'm probably going to do is, you know, either just completely change the way 668 scrolls work, or just have them sort of hard code them to reflect the stat day changes and make them a net. Is it a net loss overall on a non-stat day, or is it just a...
I think it is a net loss.
Okay.
Devstorm's question, have you given any thought to the future?
Yeah.
Do we plan to let the game grow and grow forever or as long as people are interested in it?
Or end someday. I don't know.
I don't see the game ever actually ending, like going away. Like you go to kingdomofloathing.com and there's nothing there. I see us, as we, you know, get richer and richer and start hiring staff to do all the coding for us, we'd be free to work on another game and Kingdom. And, you know, keep Kingdom
and honestly get more done in both.
Yeah.
I mean, that would just really be awesome if we had, you know, a couple of guys that just, you know, 40 hours a week were just writing code for us and that we could fire them if they created the kind of huge security holes that I create on a regular basis by not being a particularly skilled programmer. But, you know, no, I mean, I don't have any plans to stop working on Kingdom of Loathing. You know, I mean, initially, like, I used to think, like, wow, well, you know, okay, if this starts making enough money that I can quit my day job, then I will start working on a second game, you know? Or if it doesn't start, you know, if it doesn't make any money, then I will try and use the popularity of it to launch a, you know, some sort of subscription-based other game. You know, and plans change. Like, I like the way it's going now, you know? I mean, I enjoy doing this for my job, and
we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I like to see it keep growing. I don't think it's done by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I think there's always stuff that we can add. And I think that's, you know, it's always been part of the draw, is that it is growing. You know, it's sort of like, it's kind of part game, part comedy site, you know? So,
And part love connection. We have had several players get the hookup, so Lonely Hearts, take hope.
It's true. Kingdom of Loathing. Taking money from little kids and helping 16-year-olds have sex for 2 years.
Well, not on a personal basis. J-Jazz says, you know, Boozer Bear has thousands of 668s. I believe they were duped. I exploited. Not true.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that
Boozer
668s are not.
Them.
Yeah, I'm almost sure he bought them. And, I mean, you can say that, yes, it was bug meat, but, you know, okay. But everybody has bug meat. Yeah, you know, everybody doesn't have bug meat. That's the big problem with bug meat, but anyway, you don't have to worry about what Boozer does. The instant that it is possible for you to ascend. No, not even the instant it is possible for you to ascend. I would say a good 2 weeks before it is possible for you to ascend, Boozer Bear will be missing from the leaderboards because he will do it. And he will get rid of everything, and he will do nothing but help us test ascending because that is the kind of guy Boozer Bear is. Boozer Bear is going with us to Mexico, by the way. He's supplying the huge cauldrons full of peyote buttons that we're all going to be hallucinating on. I'm just kidding, by the way. I don't imagine that I would ever be willing to take peyote.
As I always say on my radio show, you know, the Radio KOL in the Kingdom of Loathing does not in any way endorse the use of any kind of illegal substances unless you have glaucoma or cancer or have just rented the Matrix.
Like I say, Kingdom of Loathing does not endorse the use of any drugs unless you got some.
Right. I'm talking about drug shit on a cell phone?
Talking about drug shit on a cell phone.
Prank caller.
How about hot stuff? Yeah, hot stuff.
Are you hitting on me, J-Jazz? How about what?
Hot Stuff is another guy who unquestionably has the best interest of the game in mind, and he told me, he's like, hey, I'm going to point out something to you by making a huge jump in levels, and I'm like, okay. I would imagine that if I re-implemented the level reduction booth, that, you know, Hot Stuff and Boozer Bear would probably both jump in.
Oh, Moth asks, what are your guys' day jobs anyhow, and you are listening to it? I go to school, and so Not most. 40% of my living expenses come from the government and your taxes. So keep working, you bastards, because I need to continue to sit at home and jack off. And I draw a salary from Asymmetric for my invaluable contributions.
Invaluable and irreplaceable, despite your concerns there, Scully.
My false modesty.
Yeah. Let's see.
And this is Jake's job.
Yes, yeah, this is my job. All right, so let's go through a bunch of questions in a row. All right, Trogdor says, no, you come out even on the 668 scrolls, which is kind of what I thought. I don't think I built in any mechanism for making it actually subtract stats in the long run.
It does by weakness, but like...
Sir Tubby says, I don't think it's fair that not everyone has bug meat. And that seems sort of misguided to me. I mean, if everybody had bug meat, then the game would suck.
Have you ever seen the movie Labyrinth, Tubby? I'll just leave it at that. And then Sarah keeps saying it's not fair, and then Jared turns to her and says...
You can say, I'll just leave it at that, and I'm like, oh, right, and I'm supposed to be, nodding, because I know what you're talking about, except I don't. Mailcan asks, how much has KOL improved your programming skills? It's pretty dramatically. Well, no. You know what? Like, it has improved my paranoia, I guess. For the most part, the things that I've learned about programming have less to do with programming, because there's very little actual, hardcore theoretical CS stuff happening here. You know, I mean, this is scripting. This is a bunch of glorified batch files. But it has, I've definitely learned a lot about preventing people from just deliberately fucking your stuff up for the sake of fucking it up. Although, there was an infinite item use bug that I introduced just yesterday that a couple people caught and sent to me as a result of the stuff that I was doing in the skills page with the multiple MP restoratives. But that bug only allowed for infinite MP, which we know is actually desirable rather than an unbalancing factor. Primavera Angel Hair says, are there plans to fill all the spots in the right side of the tracks the way you did in many other places?
As we run out of places to put stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily the case that we
should have put the trick-or-treating in there.
On the right side of the tracks?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but then, I mean, then what sense would it make for the suspicious-looking guy to show up there? Or...
Isn't the suspicious-looking guy on the wrong side of the tracks?
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, that was the thing. I mean, and also, what does a picture look like for Trick or Treat? I mean, you know, it's like, oh, look, it's a picture of town here in town. I mean, you know, so that was... Yeah, I apologize for the sort of lo-fi nature of the link to, trick-or-treating, but you know what, it's trick-or-treating, and it was fun, so deal with it.
And I hope people read that stuff, because that was fun to do.
Yeah, no, that was some of Scully's finest work.
I'm hoping that that there are more people than I think out there that read everything new that comes in, instead of just kind of clicking, reading item descriptions, because some of that shit, and it's not just the stuff that I'm writing, even though, I like having my ego stroked as much as the next guy, but the stuff that Jick's writing, too, part of the appeal of the game is the text.
Oh, a large part of the appeal. And, I really think that there are, indeed, a lot more people than you think who are getting that out of it, because every time we say something like that in any kind of public forum, we start getting, we get a handful of messages from people saying, hey, I just wanted to chime in and let you know that I appreciate this. And still, at least once a day we get a message from somebody who's like, hey, I immediately loved this game as soon as I saw the reference to X. I've had a lot of people suddenly say, like, dude, how old are you? Like, how did you know about the Monster Squad? That's awesome. It's been years since I thought about Wolfman having nards. And I don't know that anybody ever actually got the whole, like, Warwell reference, the Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing. But
I kind of asked for that just for me, so.
But yeah, it's, let's see.
What's pleasing with new content is how fast people get the references, because the turkey had been out for about, that's this month's familiar, had been out for about 5 minutes when I got a message from Riff talking about the Ramones reference in the haiku. So, yeah, that's just nice to know that other people are into the stuff we're into.
Yeah, and we were wondering if anybody was ever going to, was ever going to find the Pop Rocks and Pepsi thing. I mean, it's sort of a little hidden joke. Yeah, it took like...
An hour.
Yeah, if an hour. Yeah, So and we're getting a lot of messages now saying, like, yes, everybody does read the text, everybody does love the text, and thank you. That's what we do. You know, that is the work that we do. The code is my job. You know, the content is our work.
It's what we enjoy, is getting together and cracking each other up with ridiculous bullshit and then actually putting it where people can see it. It's just fun.
Who'd have thought that we'd ever be able to spend all of the hours of all of the weeks that we spent. Paul, you was a warwelf, says Riff, because Riff gets it. Riff gets everything.
I think Riff is essentially one of us.
Yeah,
I
really...
If we met him, we would all explode.
Absolutely.
Hey, Riff, are you going to Arkenstock? Because we are.
I think I get to see Riff. I think on my trip to Boston next month, I think we can probably manage to pull that off somehow.
Your cat's on my lap now.
Yep.
And it's making me nervous because I don't never know when she's going to go Tasmanian Devil.
My cat's kind of dangerous. She likes me. She doesn't hurt me anymore. All right. Repeating my question, because I bet you guys are swimming with question. Indeed we are. Sild says, or Skilled? Sild?
Skiled.
Skiled. What do you think of my idea on the forum? See the last post in the official Reset Ascension thread. Well, let's take a look. All right, everybody, now you're being treated to the sounds of me reading the forums.
Yeah. Oh, also, Carrie, thank you for picking up on the Discworld reference with the dwarf bread.
Yeah, that was...
Our first Discworld reference, and I'm really heavily into Discworld, and Jick is kind of not, but...
Well, not for any, I mean...
And he doesn't hate
not
it.
Not because I, I've just never read any of the books. I think that, I want to say that I bought the first one and started reading it, but I very frequently will start to read four or five books before I get into a book. Riff says he will probably not have the ability to get to Arkansas. Is Scully going to the Hot Stuff Boston thing too? I guess Hot Stuff, the Boston thing has officially become the Hot Stuff Boston thing, which is fine with me, because any amount of organization that happens by someone other than me is just fine with me.
I didn't read this, but
I believe that Scully is not going to go. Mostly my trip to Boston is not game related. Mostly my trip to Boston is a trip to see an old college friend of mine who's living there, and that's what the bulk of my trip will be. But
that's why I don't feel too bad about not being invited. Yeah. Pie Monkey
sends us an IM. I wonder if he's aware that we're on the radio.
A kiss from Pie Monkey.
It was a mwah, MWAH question mark. All right, so Scully, talk about something while I read Sild's message.
All right, so let's see. Yay, Discworld, any chance of the dwarf bread becoming a food combat item? It's already a food item, but I don't know. It would be great if you could throw it at people and, you know, have it bounce off their heads. And I did my best in trying to write that as, say, John Rhys-Davies in... Lord of the Rings, and also working in the Discworld, because people always suggest that there should be Discworld references, and there should be. Although, like Brahe wanted there to be more cake references, you know, more X references, is tricky because we never start off with the references. They just always come out of what we're doing, like, okay, well, we have a white zone. Well, what could we put in there? Like a white snake, like... Well, there was a band in the 80s called Whitesnake. Throw that in there. And
No, I mean the reason that the Whitesnake was there is because there was the band Whitesnake. It's not exactly like that. But no, I mean, a lot of the writing just happens, you know, after we've already decided what we're doing.
Artsy Chick is checking in. She will be taking the mic in 10 minutes.
Oh, right. I forgot about that whole handoff thing, because you did it last time. All right, so Sild's level is... Sild's level. I need to stop looking at words and talking at the same time. It's something that I'm not capable of, especially towards the bottom of my gigantic bottle of beer that I've been... honestly, that I've been sort of nursing over the course of this. Okay. Her idea, if it's a her. Maybe it's a he. I don't know. If it's a he, I'm sorry. the idea is basically making an experience system like the system in Diablo 2, which I was actually not aware of the way it works in Diablo 2, but I think it's pretty similar to the way that it works in Paper Mario, which is that basically the higher level you are, the less experience you get from lower level monsters. And the thing is, effectively, it's already like that, because one strength is considerably less experience to a high level player than the, you know, 10 strength he would be getting from a monster at his level that he's fighting. So, I mean, just because the level requirements go up exponentially, it's sort of effectively already like that. As far as the food, I don't know. I mean, I don't really want to devise a system whereby certain things lose their effectiveness as you go up in levels, just because the ascension process is basically going to make it so you're constantly playing the game from different levels. I have thought about doing something like the, you know, and I'll tell you this, just something, and don't take this as an official announcement or anything, but one thing that I've thought of is making a sort of system whereby, maybe by way of some kind of quest, just because that would be sort of doofy, that you acquire a favorite food, and so it randomly picks a food that whenever you use it, you get some bonuses that other people don't get. I mean, I think one thing that would sort of accomplish the same sort of deal, I mean, I guess her Sild's deal, her/his, I'm sorry, he? Did he correct me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm very sorry. I told you I needed to not read while I was talking. That advancement is too fast. And the thing is, I don't know. If you don't go to the mall, I don't think advancement is too fast. If you don't, you know, eat nothing but hell ramen and drink nothing but fuzz bumps, then advancement is too fast. And the solution to that is not to nerf the advancement process so much as it is to get rid of that stuff.
Well, the paths are going to have a lot of impact on that, because you could be at a point where you can't get a hold of the best foods for every day, so you can't level up that fast. I don't know, when he says, like, people can level up way too fast, they won't be enjoying the game all over again, they'll be zooming through, skipping most of the stuff. It's like buying all the quest items out of the mall. I would say that if you play the game that way, that is your punishment, that you don't see all of the game and you don't have as rich an experience. And if you don't give a shit about having a rich experience and you just want to watch the numbers go up, then, you know, that's a very effective way for you to play. And part of the strength of the game is that people are free to play the game in ways that we don't really understand.
Not that we don't understand, you know, that people are free to play the game in ways that we wouldn't play the game if we were playing
the
game.
That's what I was looking for.
I mean, that, you know, it's not that. I think a lot of people get the impression that once we start talking, you know, anytime we talk about doing anything for the sake of game balance, people think that we are somehow, like, opposed to the power gamers. I mean, in a way, I'm opposed to the power gamers, I guess, because I just don't understand it. You know, and I'm certainly not going to build the game for them. And if at the same time, you know, I don't understand people who just play them all. But a lot of people do that, and a lot of people say, well, you know, there's really nothing, nothing to do at high levels, so what I do is play them all. And, you know, so that's fine. Anything that keeps people going, I'm totally okay with them doing it. But, alright, we're gonna have to. We got 5 minutes, so let's try to get through as many of these questions as we can.
How did we get so cute?
Yeah, how did we get
so cute? I chalk it up to good breeding, really. I breed as often as I can.
Glomerula nephritis? I wonder what that means. I'm gonna Google it right now.
Okay, Primapair Angel Hair. Is it possible some things in the game will alter after ascension for those ascended, like the creatures in the tower below the sorceress? I'd love to see it. There's a good chance that we can do it. So we'll call that a definite maybe.
All right, glomerula nephritis is apparently a pathology of the kidney. Awesome.
We have a kidney disease.
A kidney disease asking us how we got so cute. All right. So, perspective of a kidney disease.
I'm going to start advertising that. You know, from the perspective of a kidney disease, I'm cute. How should KOL continue it is development?
Yeah, okay. This is somebody asking, who is this? Armando asks, just so you know, we love what you do. And he points to the results of the latest poll on Coldfront, which, as I've mentioned, KOL.coldfront.net is the official Kingdom of Loathing fan site. All right. The poll is, how should KOL continue its development? Those that pay should be heard. Jick must listen to what we want, or let Jick be Jick. And the overwhelming majority, 115 out of 134, comes in with let Jick be Jick. And thank you, because I like being Jick. T-Jax asks, are there any plans to add new chars? And I'm assuming he means character classes, and no.
But you're going to be able to build hybrid classes. I mean, they just won't have that name.
Yeah.
Via keeping skills throughout.
Yeah, I mean, we might do some weird shit with the naming. I mean, there might be specific combinations of skills and classes that will, you know, give you an interesting little subtitle or something. We've certainly thought about that. I mean, somebody who ends up with all of the cooking skills at once, which is, I think, going to be pretty common. You know, maybe they'll get a little Master Chef emblem or something. Thor the Mighty asks, and this is something that I talked to him about when I went to lunch with him and Adra, who are just awesome people, by the way.
Yes.
What I was talking to them about integrating their picks page into the game to a certain extent. Like, if you submit a picture to their player picks page, it will effectively be linked to from your profile. And, I am still planning on doing that, and thank you, Thor, for reminding me. Let's see. I'll get to some more. Are you guys coming to Montana? Because you have an ass load of fans here, and it would be totally kick-ass to see you guys. I gotta say, we're probably not coming to Montana. I'm sorry.
I hear that it's a leg, though.
Lord Tasbo Tavok, who I think I spoke to in private messages earlier today as Jack actually says, if we auto-sell stuff, does it get rid of it from the game? Yes, it does. It just that item data doesn't exist anymore, and just some meat comes in.
Nipog next question is pretty interesting.
Yeah, have you considered a sort of vote system so that maybe five people could all vote someone out of chat when there aren't mods around to handle it? We're definitely brainstorming how to handle the current mod situation, which basically, effectively, the only problem with it that I see and acknowledge as a problem is that there are not always mods in the chat. I think something like a community blacklist is way too easy to abuse. Opi says, I'm not sure if this got asked last week, but why exactly did the demon skin trousers and gas mask disappear from adventures? I think I talked about that earlier. I don't know. It was just kind of random. I mean, the gas mask used to be the only item that gave you stench protection, but then there were some more items that gave you stench protection, so there wasn't really any need for it anymore. So, yeah, and partly I just sort of forgot to put it in when I added the thing. DIER_CIRE, which I pronounce as Dear Sire, says, any consideration to expanding the PvP aspect of the game? Yes, absolutely. There are part of what's coming in Ascension is some neat new aspects to PvP that are really going to make things a little more exciting, make things a little more give some variety that I think is sort of not there now. Let's see. Pimping Penguin says, will there ever be anything more to do with the trophies? I mean, yeah, they're shiny and all, but kind of much ado about nothing, really. I do love my trophies, so don't take them away.
here's our meat sink conundrum? Problem? If we make the stuff that comes out of a meat sink useful, or useful in some people's opinion, like the mafia stuff, then we get complaints that, you know, we're catering to bug exploiters because we've made this useful thing that only they can get. When we make them purely aesthetic, like the trophies, then we have a problem too. So the catch is 22.
All right. Well, we are. It's time to sign off and go to the big meat show. There was so much time fucking around trying to get our technical shit together that We have to bid you an adieu, even though it hasn't been nearly long enough to talk to y'all.
Next week we'll have our shit together. Or, you know, maybe the week after that.
Oh, and yeah, apparently on Tuesday I'm gonna be on a show with Amplitude and Cuckoo Coo and Severed Toe, where we do the Hour of Power on Tuesday, which is a one shot glass full of beer per minute for 60 minutes, live and on air with y'all. So you'll all get to finally have the answer to the question: what does it sound like when Jick vomits?
All right, so we love each and every one of you hurt by the cold, and have a wonderful weekend. We are going to be in Mexico drinking tequila and watching the girls go by. Probably watching the tide roll in and watching it roll back again, too, when you think about it.
So time and tide are one thing that no one understands. And here we go. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.